Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and I am excited to have you on our Life by Life West today. Of course, I'm accompanied by my partner in health and life and love, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Good to see you. And
you too.
And we've got a wonderful guest with us today. We've got Dr. Dan Perman. Dan, welcome.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you. I'll give you a little bit of a history of Dr. Dan. He actually graduated from Life West in 2015. I believe, Dan, there was a person that was very close to Mary and I that was in your class.
Yeah. Your daughter, Morgan, was started with me right back in 2012. Oh my gosh, been a long time.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I was actually at Dan's graduation and they graduated. I think I was a commencement speaker at that graduation, but it was really cool. And Dan just had, you know, since he graduated in 15, he's had a really cool path. He went down to Santa Barbara and he got really involved in neurology. He went down and worked in a clinic in Santa Barbara. Then he opened up a clinic in Beverly Hills, California, right, for this outfit that he was working with and was taking care of, people in the industry, if you know what that means, and other kinds of things. He just had a really phenomenal experience there, but he decided that LA wasn't necessarily his lifestyle, and he moved back up to the Bay Area where he's continuing the work that he does. Interestingly enough, Dan's father, who I just had on recently on our Life Leadership Line, is Dr. Dennis Perman, a wonderful man, been in the profession for probably 45 to 46 years, 47 maybe. So his father's a chiropractor, his grandfather's a chiropractor, who went to school right before his father, and as a second profession, and his uncle, and he thinks there's probably cousins around that are chiropractors, but he's got a lineage going there, which is really cool. He's got a diplomat in chiropractic neurology, practices functional neurology, and doing really cool things, and it's just amazing. So let's hear about what's happening in Dr. Dan Perman's life. So Dan, welcome, man. We're just real, once again, we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you. That was such a beautiful introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, Mary, you'll have to agree. Sometimes it sounds like eulogies more than yeah. Especially with people who have been around for 70 years.
You know, well, I want to jump right in.
Sure.
I'm excited to hear the answer to our first topic. You know, being a chiro kid, people just assume that you grew up in a chiropractic family. You always knew you were going to be a chiropractor. That's a lot of times the typical story. That's not your story. So I want to hear the journey of what got you to chiropractic college.
Sure. So, you know, I grew up around chiropractic. I was my primary care mostly growing up. My dad adjusted me on the floor at home, you know, when I didn't feel good, I went to the chiropractor, you know. But being the rebellious child I was, I actively did not want to be a chiropractor. I knew I loved helping people. I knew I loved neuroscience and neurology. So I got my bachelor's in neuroscience and I was initially thinking maybe neurosurgery. But I found out very, very quickly that I don't deal well with blood. It was not the field for me. So I didn't really want to be a traditional medical doctor. It just wasn't what drove me. I didn't want to prescribe medication if I wasn't going to be doing surgeries. So I eased towards research. And I got a job when I was in undergraduate school at Harvard Medical School, where I did neurobiology research for them. I got a recommendation from my boss to start a PhD program at Harvard, but I fell out of love with laboratory research because I was stuck in a little bubble. I didn't feel like I was helping people enough directly. It was a little bit too narrow for me. So I thought, man, how can I help a bunch of people and incorporate neurology? And, you know, chiropractic just kind of made sense. So that's when I hopped out to Life West to begin my schooling there. That's when I learned about chiropractic neurology and functional neurology from the club that was going on there at the time. and knew that this had to be what I did because I love chiropractic. It's one of my favorite things in the world, but I wanted to do more than that. The chiropractic neurology allows me to be well within the bounds of chiropractic philosophy, but also implore lots and lots of new, different, exciting techniques to try to get people's brains functioning better.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is this, I think the misnomer, and, you know, Mary, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the misnomer is like, you know, you watch these chiro kids that, Dan, you're a chiro kid, you know, born to a chiropractor, you watch them kind of go through, you know, life, and people just assume if you become a chiropractor, you knew from birth that you were going to be a chiropractor, yeah. You know, because isn't it true? Morgan had the same path too. I mean, that girl was like, you know, I think I'm going to do law. I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to, you know, whatever it was. Right. And then she finally just said, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. Everyone's coming to me asking about health, how to eat right, how to cook, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, she was the only person on our lacrosse team who wasn't taking medication and yada. And she goes, I just got to be. So Dan, I don't know if people expected that out of you or not, but, you know, it's just interesting, you know?
You know, I think that your family was a little bit more successful than mine was. You know, you have three girls. I had three boys, so I have two older brothers. I know all three of yours ended up in the field. Yeah. I'm the only one on my side of things, but I couldn't be happier with the career that I chose because I'm able to help so many very complex cases in such big ways. So I'm super grateful that I ended up where I ended up.
Well, the question I have, and actually, I'm not asking this as the president of LifeWest, but you're in New York, you're in Boston, actually, right? Going to where, Northeastern or Boston?
Yeah, I went to Northeastern, and, yeah. And then my stint at Harvard down the street.
Yeah. So you're doing your work, you know, in the mecca of science, and you go all the way out to San Francisco, you know, or East Bay, you know, Oakland, to go to chiropractic school, right? And you probably, you know, went past, you know, 17 chiropractic schools on the way. What got you to LifeWest?
Really, really good question. I knew that I wanted to go to a school that focused on technique. I knew I wanted to go to a school that did have a philosophical basis. So that narrowed it down quite a bit. You know, at the end of the day, I applied to both Life University and LifeWest. Those were the only schools that I was interested in when I had done my research. And
that rebellious kid in you just said, yeah. No, I'm gonna go. I'm going 2,500 miles away. You know,
I mean, pretty much. You know, I've been an East Coast kid my entire life, and I was really excited about the opportunity to try something new. You know, I've started anew about five or six times at this point. But I knew I did not want to be on the East Coast. So I took the trek out to California, and I got to say, I road tripped across country to get out to LifeWest from New York. And, the second that I crossed the line into California, I just like breathed my first breath of fresh air, in 22 years of life. So, I got out to California in 2012, and I just fell in love with LifeWest in the Bay Area. And, you know, I did dance around the state a little bit, but we're back up here, and I think I'm around here to stay.
I love it.
That was good. My next question was going to be, you know, are you here to stay, or do you see yourself ever going back east?
No, I think I'm here to stay. I met my partner actually while I was in chiropractic school. We were long distance for a while I was in Santa Barbara. Then she came down to LA, to help me with the Beverly Hills practice. Well, not help me. She was doing her own thing, but help me psychologically. And we did that for a few years, but we really decided that we wanted to be closer to her family as we settled down. So that's when we made the really hard decision to leave the practice in Beverly Hills, come back up here and, you know, set up some roots. So yeah, we're planning on being up here for the long haul.
That's great. That's great.
I love it.
Let's talk about chiropractic neurology, because I think, you know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a lot of misnomers, you know, and there's just a lot, I don't want to say misnomers. I think there's just a lot of thoughts out there on what people pigeonhole chiropractic neurology as being, or what people say it is, or might not be, or whatever. I know there's a lot out there, and you know, growing up with, you know, with a very philosophical base in chiropractic, you know, and then taking the path of neurology, which makes total sense now, right, Mary? I mean, after hearing your journey in undergraduate school and being in neurology and then doing research at Harvard and all these things, you know, it just makes total sense. And you didn't even know that, right, until you got to chiropractic school. But you know, talk to us about that. Talk to us about chiropractic.
Sure. So, you know, I love chiropractic. I get adjusted regularly. I promote it to a ton of people. Chiropractic neurology gets some heat sometimes because it employs other types of therapies. You know, it's a very mixer type of approach. And sometimes they get flack for not being, you know, philosophically based, being more, you know, medically minded. But I really don't see it that way at all. I think that the practices in functional neurology fit well within the paradigm of chiropractic philosophy. We are trying to identify body systems that aren't communicating appropriately to the brain, and we're trying to remove that interference by trying to get them to communicate better. So whether you're talking about the spine or the vestibular system, the inner ear, or the eyes or your smell or your taste, it doesn't matter which sensory system you're talking about. We are finding where there's some dysfunction, trying to integrate it better so that it can communicate effectively to the brain, which leads to better overall function. So, you know, we talk about the safety pin, you know, cycle. It's the same thing when you're talking about vestibular rehabilitation. It's the same thing when you're talking about eye motion rehabilitation. We are removing interference in those systems so that they can communicate more effectively to the brain. And to me, that fits perfectly along the lines with chiropractic philosophy. And it's part of my mission to show, you know, that we can be within this vitalistic mindset and still do other things that aren't strictly the vertebral subluxation complex.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. And yet you still address the vertebral subluxation complex, obviously.
95%+ of my patients get adjusted. The only people that don't, that very small percentage, are very, very, very sensitive cases that are just, they're just too sensitive to handle that kind of input. But the goal of all of my cases is to get them doing some kind of chiropractic work. We celebrate, actually. That first time I get to, you know, adjust their atlas, that's a big celebration for us a lot of the time.
Thank you for explaining that, because it's like, you know, at some point looking back, I felt that way. Like, well, we just need our hands and that's it. We do one thing in our office and that's it. And listening to other people talk about that, like Ron just said, there's a kind of this just misunderstanding about it. It's like, it just makes so much sense. Like, if you can do other things that still support like the brain body function and all that type of thing, why would you not want to use it?
That's kind of my mindset too. And, you know, there's no doubt that the neuromusculoskeletal system is one of the biggest inputs to the brain. I mean, it's arguably the biggest input to the brain, but there are other systems that are also very, very, very important. And when those systems are out of balance, it can lead to other symptoms. And you know, it's no wonder that chiropractors get the results that they get a lot of the time, because they are really influencing the brain with their adjustments. But every once in a while, there's something just a little bit different there, that, you know, the chiropractic adjustment might not be the correct approach in that instance. And, you know, that's okay. You know, it's all right to identify those few situations where, you know, we need to retrain this one eye movement, or we need to get this right posterior vestibular canal integrating a little bit better. So there's just a little added nuance on top of traditional chiropractic care that just allows us to, just get a little bit deeper into a person's neurology in seeing how we can tweak their brain function with just as much nuance as possible. The care is very, very, very nuanced. We're trying to do as little as possible to make as big of a change as possible.
Right. And wouldn't it make sense that, you know, if this is, you know, and you're taking cases where people aren't getting responses and people aren't, you know, that, I mean, I would think that chiropractors should be referring to you left and right, because, you know, difficult cases, things neurologically aren't changing. And then they just go back to the chiropractor to make sure that they're, you know, they stay unsubluxated. And once their nervous system gets balanced, how do you tune up a car from the outside without, you know, without getting into the system, right? Like, you can't tune the nervous system up until you get into the system, right? And yet, like you said, 95% of the time, you know, because we know how powerful the adjustment is, and how, not just the adjustment, but how powerful the human body is, right? That can reintegrate itself and reorient itself, and the adaptability that it has. But like you said, that 5% or whatever it might be, you know, they need a little bit something different at that moment, but then go back and then keep doing what the chiropractor is doing, right?
Yeah, so you said it perfectly. I mean, you know, I view myself as a specialist in this field. I'm not a family chiropractor, you know. There are people that want me to be their family chiropractor, and I will be their family chiropractor, but that's not typically my focus. A lot of my patients are coming from chiropractors. You know, oftentimes, I would say, especially being in Los Angeles, probably 75% or more of the patients that walk through my door already have a chiropractor. Some of them, you know, have had multiple chiropractors. Some of them have chiropractors for different purposes, an upper cervical guy, a full spine person. The way I view my role is to look at all the things that haven't been looked at, get their brains as stable as possible, and then get them back to the chiropractor. Yeah. I do not poach patients. There's no need to do that. You know, I don't need to be everybody's general practitioner when it comes to chiropractic. I want to give patients the tools to keep their brains as strong as possible and then get them back for wellness care with the person that they're comfortable with. And everybody has their chiropractor that they love. I would never, ever, ever take anybody away from that.
But you know what makes sense? It's kind of, you know, I was just with a buddy of mine, Jeff Schulten, and he practices NUCA. And Jeff said, you know, people should have multiple chiropractors. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my gosh, yeah. Gary, you know this. You know, we had Donna, who was down the street from us when we were practicing in San Diego for 30-something years. And, you know, she was more of a sports chiropractor, right? If I got a sports injury, I wasn't going to like an orthopedist or a physical. I'd go to Donna. And Donna, you know, she knew what was needed. She took care of me. I healed that much quicker. And, you know, and she was a chiropractor, you know, and that to me was super important. Just like you have someone who takes care of upper cervical. When was it? Last week, 2 weeks ago, Mother's Day weekend. You know, I happened to go spend the afternoon with Donnie Epstein, you know, and Donnie said, hey, would you like to get in trained? I said, oh, Donnie, of course I would, you know? And yeah, I mean, everybody, if I had Donnie around me, I'd be seeing him every, you know, week or 2 weeks or whatever he felt was necessary. It's like, it just doesn't make sense. We eat well, people get massage, you know, you see how these athletes take care of themselves. I'm talking about like high powered athletes. I mean, they got somebody for everything, right? Why don't we have that in chiropractic?
Well, it makes so much sense because, you know, when you think about traditional medicine, you don't just have one medical doctor, you know, right. You have your general practitioner and you have your specialists and, you know, you have your dentist, you have all these different people that fit in that model and nobody bats an eye at it. But you tell somebody that you have two or three or four chiropractors of different specialties and they think it's super weird. It doesn't need to be like that. You know, we're at a point in this profession where there are so many interesting avenues that you can go into if you're passionate about it. And every single path has so many incredible benefits that it's almost a disservice to tell somebody that, you know, one way is the only way versus the other way. I really do think that a team approach to healthcare is the answer here, both within chiropractic and you know, interprofessional as well.
Yeah.
So I have a question about that. So if you're seeing someone and they have their own chiropractor, and then you do the evaluation, you do treatment with them, when you send them back to their chiropractor, are you giving them specific like adjustment information, or are you just saying like, hey, I would adjust them on this side? Or
great question. So it depends. Some people do require a little bit more targeted musculoskeletal work and adjusting technique. So I may say, you know, see if your chiropractor can focus a little bit more on your right side and maybe start working on your, you know, left arm or leg or whatever. But some patients don't need that. You know, some people just need a general just upkeep. And in that case, I don't give recommendations. If there is something particular I do need the other doctor to know, I'll talk to them. I routinely will talk to other chiropractors so that we can be on the same page with this kind of stuff. You know, even with brain rehab, the good thing about the work that I do is a lot of it's homework. So I don't need to see people super frequently after that initial care when I'm doing most of their rehab. So, you know, my goal is to have the patient seen as often as they need to for wellness care by the chiropractor, and then be seen by me anywhere from once a month to once every 2 years, you know, just to do a new assessment, make sure that everything is good to go, and just update your exercises. Because, you know, neurological therapies do have a maximum benefit. You know, once the brain is trained to a certain point, that therapy is not going to do anything anymore. So you need to create a new novel therapy to keep their brain pushing forward. So I do, even in my office, even if they're seeing another chiropractor, I do recommend checkups periodically so that I can just update their therapies and keep them moving.
Yeah, or just to see how they're doing, right?
Just to see how they're doing. Yeah, just to see how they're doing. I have a handful of people that, you know, chronic migraine cases who went from having a migraine every day to having no migraines at all anymore. And they come to see me two or three times a year just to make sure everything is good to go. And as long as everything is, I say, congratulations, you're killing it. And I send them on their way and I see them again, you know, six months to a year. So you can, you know, you don't have to see people super regularly if they don't need it. Some people do. But I like to see how long I can go in between visits. I get excited when I don't have to see you very, very often, basically. Right. Now for me, chiropractic upkeep, like that's more important to go regularly, I think. But because I'm not that family chiropractor, I'm much more happy to have them see somebody else for that more regular upkeep while I can just kind of tweak their brain periodically.
I love it, man. You know, like everyone, like you said, everyone needs to have a family chiropractor, right? And we know you grew up with that, right?
Yeah.
And I love it. So I mean, obviously, you know, doing the neurology gig and the things you're doing, you've seen some pretty crazy cases. I know you've only been into it for 7 years, but that is a long time on some level. Just share with us some of the crazy, you know, give us, what was one of the craziest things that you saw walk in your door as far as symptomatology or situation on neurological imbalance?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a very good question. Let's see. I've seen, I saw a motocross biker who was a young guy. He was only about 23 or 24 years old at the time I saw him. 14 documented concussions, probably more than that in reality. He came in, he had a migraine. It's not really a migraine. I won't get into that now. It's a post-concussive headache. He had headache every single day for the past 5 or 6 years. We started an intensive with him. By day two, his headache lifted, and we checked in with him a year later, and he still wasn't having headaches. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't oftentimes take a ton of care to make these changes. You just need to speak to the brain the right way. And when you give the brain the right information to do its job better, the system relaxes and the symptoms improve. So that's one. I've dealt with a lot of stunt people, you know, one stunt person who was in the industry for 30 plus years, and she had pretty hardcore depression. She was suffered with alcohol consumption, headaches, nonstop dizziness, and she knew it had to do with her job. But, you know, it was... She loved it. There was no way she was going to stop doing it unless she really had to. So she came to me. I actually ran into her at a public fair or something like that. And she kind of learned about what I did and she was interested. We did an intensive with her and for those that don't know, an intensive is where we see people multiple times a day for a week straight to do a lot of very targeted neurological rehab. And by day three of five, she was almost asymptomatic. She had more energy than ever. Her fogginess had lifted. There was no headache. There was no dizziness. The COVID-19 pandemic hit about a month or two after we did her work. And all of a sudden, she had to do her job, but also had to take care of her kid in school. And she comes back to me and she says, if it wasn't for you, I would have never been able to handle this because I would have been so overwhelmed trying to handle life and take care of my kid. At that point, her husband got sick and ended up in the hospital. So she was doing everything on her own. And she said, without this kind of care, I really don't think I would have survived. Yes. But I'm able to not only care for my daughter, but enjoy caring for my daughter in such a crazy time. And it's all thanks to this kind of stuff. So, you know, those are the things that just make it so worth it, you know. That's a couple of instances. There's a million more that I can talk about, but I won't bore you guys.
No, I love it. We're winding down on our time, but I think the last question, you know, would be just where do you see the future with you, just in the vision and the path you're moving down, you know, where do you see the future with that?
So awesome question. I think the future is super bright for this kind of stuff. not only for chiropractic neurology, but also for chiropractic in general, because, you know, more than ever, people are seeking this kind of stuff. The problem is a lot of them don't know that it's really an option for them. And I can't tell you how many people I see where they come in, they're like, I just don't want medication. They're like, I just want a real solution for this. I've tried the medication and it might help, but it makes me feel weird in other ways, or it just doesn't work at all. And they're just, I just don't want to take it. I just want a real solution. And we as chiropractic neurologists, we as chiropractors have a huge opportunity to be that practitioner who gives them real solutions to their problems. I think the main issue right now is there's not enough awareness around this work. Mm-hmm. And I think there's not enough doctors practicing. I envision a time where there's thousands of rehab specialists, where there are millions of people that are banging down our doors for this kind of work because they want it. They just don't know that it's out there. Right. So my mission is to get people to understand there are rehabilitative options out there that are extraordinarily effective for you. You got to seek them out at this point because there's not enough of us doing it out there. But I think that with advancements in technology, I think that with, you know, social media, I think we have so many more opportunities to get out in front of the masses and show them that these really amazing options are there. We are waiting with open arms to help these people. I'm sick and tired of being the 30th doctor that people see. Mm-hmm. I think it should be the opposite. I think we should be one of the first people that people see. And, you know, that's a very big responsibility for the chiropractor to handle, because we need to be able to look at these cases from the ground and say, okay, am I the right person for you? Do we need other things? But I think that we're very well equipped to be that practitioner. I envision a future where, you know, it's not a this or them. It's a both of us working together to try to figure out the best for the patient, which is get them out of harm's way, whatever we need to do to manage them on an emergency level. And then the main focus is on rehabilitation. And I think that the chiropractor and the chiropractic neurologist is really just one of the best equipped people to accomplish that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah. That's it. You should drop the mic now.
Yeah, right.
Well, the interesting thing for me is, you know, we've got chiropractors. If we look at the spectrum, we've got chiropractors over here who are truly just pain specialists. I mean, they're just about, you know, or they're doing more diet and more things like that and weight loss and things like that. But that, you know, nothing, I don't want to poo-poo anything, but like, there's just so much more work we can do, you know, and then you've got the people who are kind of like pain specialists, and then everyone has their reasons and they'll all justify why they're doing it. I'm not making anybody wrong for what they do, but then you got your pain specialists, and then you know, who are just doing musculoskeletal pain care. And then you move into more of the family chiropractor who gets the kids under care and keeps people subluxation, you know, subluxation free and allows the nervous system to function to the best of its ability on that level. And then you've got the specialists, right? Which is so cool. And that's where the integration has to come in, right? But the old adage, you can't find something if you don't know what you're looking for, mm-hmm. you know? And then the old adage is, oh, I stumbled upon you. And like you said, Dan, they shouldn't be stumbling upon us. They should be knowing this is what we do, you know? And the family chiropractor, you know, should be able to have these resources, be able to say, hey, listen, I want to send you out to go see, you know, Dr. Dan Perman, you know, because where your issue is, and don't worry, you're going to be coming back, but I just want you to go see a specialist with this. And, you know, and then of course, you know, that you're going to always send them back. And it's just, that's how it should be working, right? Everyone should have more than one chiropractor, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to focus on a team approach here, because there are, you know, I specialize in migraine, dizziness, and concussion, and combined, there's, you know, close to 100 million people just in the U.S. alone that are dealing with these kinds of things. So it's not like there's a shortage of patients.
Yeah, that's a third of our population. You know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But we are coming to the end. We're coming to our witching hour. And Dan, every time we have a Life by Life West, we always ask two questions that we end with.
Okay.
To the answer, just whatever innately pops up, you know, 30, 45 second answer. Mary, are you doing one or am I doing the first one?
I got the first question.
All right.
Okay. The first question, if you could travel back in time to 2012 and give the student, Dan, in chiropractic school, some advice, what would you tell him?
The first quarter student, right?
First quarter student.
Wow, that is a very good question. I would tell him it's not going to be nearly as easy as you thought it was going to be, but it is going to be all 1,000,000% worth it, because you're going to be doing some of the coolest, most cutting edge rehabilitation that exists in the entire world right now.
I love it.
Ooh, wow.
I love it.
That's about it.
Right, you would have blown yourself away.
Yeah, right.
Question number two. And question number two is pretty much the same exact question. But if you were able to right now, Dr. Dan, go speak to Dr. Dan Perman, you know, new practitioner, what would you say to him, knowing what you know now? What would you say to Dr. Dan, the new practitioner?
I would say study harder. The learning never, ever ends. So the more effort and work you put into this now, the reward will grow exponentially in the future.
Love it.
I'm learning that I'm never going to know it all. And there are people that know way more than me that are so much smarter than me. But the more you obsess over this stuff, your skill set really does grow exponentially. So take it seriously.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love it.
Good advice.
Yeah. Keep your eyes open, but always have to keep the rubber on the road, right? Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, listen, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is great.
It was great having you on the show today, and your passion really just comes through, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. Incredible. And Mary, anything you want to, any last words you want to share?
No, but I want to get an evaluation by you.
Oh, I can't wait. You just let me know. We'll set it up.
Okay, good. I love it because I have, I have a lot of questions for you.
Please, throw them at me.
So before you get into your consultation,
just know,
Dan, that you've got the presidential spouse in your hands. So
Yes. I know. I love this kind of work. And
no,
I just,
no worries, Doc. I'm used to caring for high profile people.
There you go.
Okay. Yes, you are.
She's more important than me. I want you to know that. It's never the person, you know, out in front. It's the person who's like doing all the work. You know that.
Absolutely. I know it.
Anyways, it's great to have you. And Mary, I think you just got a consult set up. You guys can talk afterwards. So good use of our time. I like that. You fit that right in there. And to our viewers, thank you so much. I really mean that. You know, from Dr. Mary and myself. You know, and all our guests, Dr. Dan and all the guests that we've had on our Life by Life West, thank you for tuning in. You know, we drop these every 2 weeks, and the opposite weeks we drop our Life West leadership line. We are having amazing, amazing viewership right now, 4,000 plus. And we just appreciate it. And we appreciate you spreading this to other people, sharing this, sending it off to someone, you know, just the link that they can see. So thank you. And we'll keep coming back at you. Our goal is to keep doing these and make sure that we keep spreading chiropractic to every corner of the planet. And as always, you know, just keep your family close to you and keep your loved ones close. Keep hugging and loving those around you. Make sure that you keep your nervous system as clear as possible. And until we come back again for our next Life by Life West, Dr. Dan, Dr. Mary, myself, we bid you adieu and hope you have a phenomenal day.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.